date.
Hey, yo, 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 what's up, what's up? It's your boy Matt Matias, your meme lord for the Lord. And I'm live every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking to y'all, ranting about life, Christianity. You know, I like to laugh, I like to think, and I like to talk to people who grew up in the church just like me. And so that's what I do. And that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm talking about stuff that's on my mind, making me upset, making you upset. And we'll see. I want to hear what you guys have to say as I react to certain things. I don't have as many things to react to today as I usually do. I feel like today's going to be more of like a ranty slash like I talk to you, you guys talk to me type thing. Last week, I commented on the whole Santa thing. The Santa slash Satan anagram type thing that happened in the Tim Allen movie. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys don't. It's okay if you don't know what I'm talking about. But basically, it's a scene in the new Tim Allen Santa Clauses movie where the elves say, I love Santa. They're trying to say, I love Santa, but they say, I love Satan instead. They mix up the words and then they look down like, oh no, we mixed up the words. And then they switch it around. The overreaction, dude, is blown my mind. It's amazing, bro. How crazy, like, how crazy Christians have gotten, like, reacted to this. No, and there's no, like, reasoning with some of them. So I'm just to name a few of the comments that I've gotten, because I did a post about me commenting on that, and the comments, incredible. Nothing short. The feedback. Guys, it's like you think that Tim Allen, like an actually Christian, like super conservative dude who made the movie, you'd think that he was Satan himself with the response that this show is getting. And you know, if I want to put on my Alex Jones conspiracy theory hat, it could be the whole thing where Disney's tried it. They asked him to do it. I feel like this is one of those things where it was like super, it was made to be super innocuous, but Christians just ran with it. And there's no convincing them otherwise. No matter how many facts you present to them, no matter how many scriptures you present to them. But it really had me thinking. Let me just explain a bit. Because it's like what they're saying is, because I like to portray both arguments. The arguments are basically Disney. This is the side that says that Disney's wrong. Disney is basically just they're showing their hand. They're showing that they've always been devil worshippers. And like the thing is that it's not too far off base as far as like some of the more suggestive things that have been found in Disney's videos in the past and some of their agendas that have come to light. It's like some of it's questionable and I wouldn't personally say it's, I don't know. I don't like to go down that rabbit hole. I'll say that Disney is definitely not a Christian company. Okay. I'll say that. They're not even trying to hide it. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, They're just putting it right. They're what is it? They're saying the quiet part out loud. Oh my goodness, dude, it's cringe. So okay, one of the arguments that somebody put forth where they were saying the reason we need to be outraged by this is because we need to be hyper vigilant. Which I agree, and not hyper vigilant, but we need to be vigilant. Scripture literally says we need to be vigilant and aware and sober minded. But this just seems like taking the cake. It's so over the top. And Christians, well, I think we do this every year around Christmas. We're hypersensitive around this time. If somebody says something or does something around Christmas time, we just lose our poop. What are y'all saying on Instagram? Merry Cringemas! Hilarious. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't even really know where to go from there. But I do know that I want to talk about legalism. And I want to talk about your guys' thoughts on legalism. Okay, I'm a little behind, so be patient with me real quick. I have something I want to react to as well, and I have some stuff that I want to talk to, but I just need to transfer it over really super quick. Shazam.
Play full screen with audio. Here we go.
I don't know if you guys have ever had a Mickey Mouse cup. You have a cup that has stuff written on the inside. A Mickey Mouse cup specifically has Mickey written on the inside. And when you're drinking liquid, you can see the reflection on the surface of the liquid. And the reflection actually says wicked.
You think that was premeditated?
Just give me a second. Give me 1 second. Guys, my man's exegeting a coffee cup. like what? And here's one of the things. Okay, I'll mention one of the things that somebody brought up to me when I approached this whole subject. And it's an objection that I get a lot from people when it comes to the Christian memes and humor in general. They're like, you're making light of something that needs to be serious. We need to be serious. And if you're allowing the desensitization of the people to happen. What do you guys think about that? I just want to hear your thoughts real quick. When it comes to interacting with this type of thing, where like if you see the word Satan, and if it's done in a joking manner, or if you see maybe the words Mickey upside down, somehow spells wicked, I guess. Like, try it. Try to spell Mickey and then turn it upside down and see if it says wicked. Like, oh my goodness, dude. They aren't even trying to hide it. What do you guys think? Mickey, no. More like premedicated. Pre-caffeinated. Oh, you guys are corny. Dude, the level of, like, that reach. The reach is so powerful. I think the coffee has caffeine, and caffeine can be addictive, so Disney is trying to get us addicted to caffeine to pull us away from God. Oh my goodness. All right, let's get to that. Let's get to the rest of this video I was talking about.
The reflection actually says wicked.
You think that was premeditated?
Yes.
You think that's why Walt named his infamous character Mickey?
Yes.
Yes. I love it. You think that was premeditated? Yes. You think that's why the infamous... You think that's why he named him? Yes. I think that's why.
How? Like, what else do you have to prove that? Besides a really bad reflection of really unique handwriting. Like, what else? There is an end to this part where he does use something else. I probably won't show that part because it's kind of grotesque. But I'll let him talk about it.
Catch you off guard.
The internet is more accessible than it's ever been. And with that has come an absolute pandemic of people addicted to pornography. This addiction statistically is affecting Christians and non-Christians alike. It's a problem. Porn is a human problem, but Covenant Eyes provides a human solution. Covenant Eyes helps you and the ones you love live porn-free through transformative accountability relationships. With Covenant Eyes, you choose someone that you know and trust to walk with you as your ally and to hold you accountable for your online behavior. Me and my friends use it, and I've seen it firsthand break the bonds of addiction in people's lives. This stuff works. So basically what you do is you download the Covenant Eyes app, it tracks the activity on your devices, and your friend, who's your ally, gets a victory app which shares your activity feed right to their phone. You and your ally will be able to celebrate victories together and have honest and caring conversations about your successes, setbacks, and triggers. Nothing works better than this. If you struggle with pornography addiction online and you're ready to see some victory in your life, download Covenant Eyes and use promo code MONDAY for 30 days free. Try it out. I've gotten so many success stories from this app, and that's why I'm so happy that they've chosen to sponsor Meme Lord Monday. Again, that's Covenant Eyes. Use the link in the show notes of this episode and use promo code MONDAY for 30 days free. Victory over addiction has never been easier.
No, I had always known in my gully that Mickey was wicked, just filthy. You can actually...
Okay, I won't even play that part because it's disgusting. So it's a clip of Mickey and his nether regions making Swiss cheese, if you can use your imagination for like 2.5 seconds.
Well, he didn't. So he's saying that Disney made this clip, but they didn't, though. It's an edit. It's an edit of that somebody drew of Mickey. Like, it's a disgusting edit that some person on YouTube drew in the 2000s, the 2010s. And you can see it all over the comments. They're not even, like, addressing it. Somebody edited Mickey making Swiss cheese with parts of his body that are disgusting. And like I said, it's not even Disney. The dude's making leaps and jumps, and he's reaching and also providing misinformation. So for that, you get a fart. You get a quick fart, because, like, that's like a big L. And here's the thing. A lot of Christians will see that, and they'll hear the word wicked, and they'll hear the conspiracy theory, and they'll connect with that, and they'll say, well, you know, there you go. Canceling Disney. And here, like, I'm defending Disney in the sense that I like the stories that they make. I'm not defending Disney in the sense that I don't think that there might be some suspicious activity in the background. I'll be honest. Like, they're not a Christian company. But I like the stories and the art that they make. So I'm going to watch some of their stuff that they make. And when they've put out stuff that's, like, super sus. Because here's the thing. I feel as though a lot of Christians, they sense that they are susceptible to attack what they view, consume, or in some type of proximity to something that is or appears to be wicked, or evil or satanic. And I think that there's a conflation there, because in one hand, I think that, yeah, we should be mindful of the things that we allow into our minds, that we allow to ourselves to consume, for sure. Like, I don't like watching scary movies because it keeps me up at night, and I don't like those images. It's not enjoyable for me. And I feel like a lot of scary movies kind of have to be evil in a sense, you know, like they don't, that's just my sense of it. I don't enjoy it. I don't hate on people that like scary movies. If you like scary movies, and I'm sure that there are scary movies out there that don't necessarily have an evil storyline. They're just like have a very, very thrilling or compelling storyline that gets you jumpy. There's nothing wrong with that. But I know what it does to me. And so if somebody would just put a video out where it's like, I know if I watch this video of the Santa Clauses and I see the word I love Satan, it's going to make me feel weird. And so I'm not going to watch it. I would respect the heck out of that. What I don't respect is people, Christians, forcing their own what are called scruples and their own convictions on other people, expecting other people to have the same convictions that they do. That's wrong, guys. And I wish I had more time, like, or I wish I would have prepared more, but I'm positive that there's scriptures about this that say, do not cause your brother to stumble. And this is in line with how you carry your own self and the way that you like to share your own convictions and the things that harm you personally. So anyways, I'm rambling. Let me see what you guys have to say here. Yeah. He named him Mickey, so in 60 years, Wicked shows up in the coffee. Tinfoil hat theologians look for anything and everything for confirmation bias. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, I believe that. And here's the thing, too. Like, I posted this on TikTok, and some girl was so mad at me. She was like, this is such an immature Christian take. I can't believe that you're disagreeing with this guy. And I'm like, what do you... I mean, I gave all the reasons why I disagree with him. And she was straight up being rude and disrespectful. She was calling me immature. She was calling me uneducated. She was calling me, I mean, pretty true, but like she was attacking my character more than anything else. And she would not stop. She just kept commenting. So thank you for the engagement, first of all. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Oh, come on, Based. Oh, jeez, man. There we go. You try one more time. Thank you so much for the engagement. I mean, but I told her, I was like, it's amazing how you're less concerned about being rude and disrespectful to me than you are about watching a fake movie that's saying fake things that's made by a Christian. That's amazing to me that people, like the level of importance people place on things. That's just me, you know, this is me in therapy right now. But I wanted to talk about legalism, guys, and why it's just not good. Because legalists okay, if you don't know what legalism is, basically legalism is, like I said before, it's when you take your own personal scruples, your own personal convictions, and you force other people to adhere to them when they don't necessarily need to. So some of you might like say that I'm a hyper grace person. I find that because I grew up, I feel maybe more along the lines of being strict, legalistic, where like my behavior was reflective of how close I was with God. And I agree, like to some extent, I agree with that as far as like maturity levels, but I believed it growing up that, you know, my behavior affected my status with God. And so that's why I've kind of swung the pendulum to the other side, where I'm a bit more graceful with myself. And I try to be more graceful with other people. So maybe some of the things that I don't find as offensive or evil or rude, a lot of you guys might. And that's just me. I'm just being straight up with you guys. And I'm not going on saying like, I'm not over here doing doing the drugs. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing any drugs. You know, your boy might sip an alcohol every once in a while. Your boy might sip one. You might sip, you know? He might do a little... Take a little sippy sip. But yeah, so just so you guys know where I'm at. So I won't be surprised if some people would say that I might lean more hyper grace. But I would also say that I would disagree. I feel like that's when religion gets really cringe and really bad, is when, say, like I would have take my grace, and I want to avoid doing this because I know I can come across as though like, haha, you guys are dumb and I can be a troll, but I want to be careful. Because I want to come across as a person who is willing to accept and interact with somebody who has different views than I do. And I want to also be somebody who's willing to take correction if I'm wrong, because I'm a dumb meme lord. So I'm going to say some dumb stuff, and I'm probably going to say a lot of wrong stuff. And I have a lot of growing to do in my own spiritual walk as well. But I know I've come from a really long walk and a long way. And like I said, one of these days I want to talk about my deconstruction and where I came from, being an Assemblies of God minister for a while, associate minister, being in ministry for a ton of years, and then now I'm like more on the Reformed end. I will talk about it, I promise you guys. But drunk edition of the show, when? Dude, no. I don't do that. Your boy don't do that, okay? I mean, I'll be honest, like I'll have, you know, maybe more than a few, like in a celebratory fashion, but your boy's not getting drunk, okay? That's just, it's not in the equation. I'm not in there for that. Here's one observation that I found when it comes to legalism, where it's like, you have to hold to this religious code or you're not a Christian. Like that's how I define legalism. And then this is what I've discovered, like an observation that I've made, is that people who are legalistic, they will accuse people with theological knowledge. And I know you've seen this. Like, say you've seen a comment section or conversation where somebody's like, guys, you probably shouldn't practice that because it says in this chapter, in this verse, that you shouldn't do this. And, you know, Christ was actually referring to this. And they get into like the context and they start expositing scripture, like really getting into scripture and talking about what it's there for in a really clear and concise way. And when they is confronted on their behavior, they'll say, well, you're just being a Pharisee with your theological knowledge. You're just being one of those Pharisees. You're being a Sadducee. And that's what, and Jesus hated the religious. And they will equate people with theological knowledge as Pharisaical or Pharisees. But Christ actually encouraged people to listen to the Pharisees. And like their theological knowledge was actually on point. Let me find that verse. This is a verse that I did want to find. Like being an actual Pharisee is to misunderstand what scripture says and then force that on other people. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. The Messiah himself was in front of everyone, and they misunderstood scripture to say that Jesus Christ himself was a blasphemer. And that's what a Pharisee is. A Pharisee is somebody who misunderstands scripture and then forces that misunderstanding on other people. That's being a false prophet. Matthew 23:3. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach, but do not practice. And like another version says, you must be careful. You must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. So he's basically commending what they preach, but he's like, don't act the way that they act. That's another pharisaical thing. It's like when you preach something and you don't do what you're saying. So take for example this whole devil thing, this Satan thing in Disney. They said Satan, and they're like ringing the bell, going crazy, the red alert's going off, they're going nuts. But like at home, they mistreat people, or online they disrespect people. Like that one girl was literally doing to me. She was like, you're immature, you're uneducated, basically she was saying you're stupid. She was throwing like just really, really coming at my character and not even addressing the issue that I was addressing, which, by the way, is called an ad hominem when you miss the point and you aim at the character of the person who's presenting the point, which is a fallacy. That's Pharisee activity, guys. That's straight up Pharisee activity right there. Because, what does scripture say as far as like how to interact with people and how to treat people? You got to be loving. You got to be kind. You got to be gentle. You got to be, self-controlled. And some people use that as an excuse to disrespect people. And it's incredible to me. So let me see what's going on here. Jesus hated the extra biblical traditions of the Pharisees, tradition of the elders. Legalism sounds like you're not a real Christian if, or you're not really saved if. Yeah. And that's a really good point, John. Excuse me. If somebody's a legalist, they're going to make it hard to be a Christian. And don't get me wrong, Christ said you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations. But like, why pile on extra burdens on people? Like, yeah, I don't like scary movies, but I'm not going to tell you to stop watching scary movies because they're bad for me. I know what's bad for me. And it's a secondary, if not tertiary issue, like a third issue from what's really important. I think my boy Jean, he had a good comment on that. He was like, when the secondary issues become primary, or the tertiary issues become primary, that's when you're a legalist. That's when you're a Pharisee. When you make big deals out of secondary or tertiary or even beyond that, and you take your eyes off of what's really important. Keep the fundamentals the fundamentals. We need that Meme Lord Monday's Purple Drank Doctrine episode. Don't be talking about my mom like that. Wow. I think we also have to be careful throwing Pharisee and false teacher around. There might be some pastors who don't have the heaviest doctrinal sermons, but still love the gospel. For sure. Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts on that, Spaghetti. Because, like, I love simple churches. I love churches that are simple. Everybody in there loves God. They're hardworking, and they just preach the simple gospel. However, they're just not that good at defending their faith. Like, let's be honest. If somebody confronts them on their faith, all they have to say is like, "Well, he changed my life, and that's good." I mean, there's nothing wrong with that either. But if you press them on why they believe what they believe, like, it's just kind of falls to shambles. And you see this. I see this online. Well, like, I'll see, in my TikTok live journeys that I've been doing, I'll see that these atheists or agnostics will put on these lives. Christians will join them. And the live will say, "Prove to me God exists." And then a Christian will join. And they'll be like, "Well, I saw a miracle." Or, "Well, my grandpa was a Christian, and now I'm a Christian." And it's like, okay, got anything else? For me, that's important to have something else. But I'm not going to force, and I'll get back to that. I'm not going to force someone else to follow my convictions of where they need to be, maybe intellectually with their faith, theologically with their faith. I don't expect everyone to have a master's of divinity when it comes to Christianity. I would expect, however, a pastor to have a Master's of Divinity, or at least something equivalent to that, because if they're preaching God's word, they should know what they're preaching from. And scripture says, you got to be careful if you're going to be a pastor. You should really be careful to be a teacher, because teachers come into higher judgment. And so don't be quick to become a teacher, is what scripture says. That's what I mean. Like, that's my balance. That's my like love-hate relationship with the small, simple church. I love it. They're the most loving, kind people ever. But they don't have much theological depth to them. And as you just saw, Jesus said, listen to the Pharisees. Those guys are rich in theological knowledge. Listen to them. What they're talking about is right. But, you know, watch how they act and they behave. Like, it's not really, they don't possess the faith that they're talking about. Let's see. When people... Oh, bro, I agree with you. I say that as somebody who used to think everyone besides Matt Chandler was an apostate. No, that's where I'm at. It's a delicate balance for me, because that's the thing. In those simple churches, you might find a lot of those legalists in there, unfortunately. And I know they're well-meaning, and I know that they love God for sure, and their lives are changed for the most part. But it's like, those are the same people like oppressing women, you know? Those are the same people throwing tantrums at someone at the supermarket because they don't believe in God, or they said a swear word they don't like, and they're forcing them not to swear around them. It's just, you know, is that really how you're supposed to be acting? That's where I'm at. What do you guys think? I also think that the Venn diagram of Theo Bros and legalists is almost a perfect circle. Yeah. I like that. The Venn diagram. Hey, real quick, I'm going to do a quick little commercial shout out to the sponsors of the show. There's a program. If you are an editor, or if you are a podcaster, or if you just want a way to create better audio, like edit quicker, edit video quicker, any of those things, I highly recommend a platform or a program called Descript. It's Descript. And I have an affiliate with them. So if you want to get that program, make sure to check the link in the description of this episode. But basically, it's really cool. I'm going to explain to you how it works. It is amazing. I use Descript for this podcast, and I edit it right after I'm done here. I hop on Descript, I edit it, and I put it into the podcast. I'm done the same night. I edit this whole podcast in one night. And it saved me a ton of time. So Descript, what it is you upload your video, or multiple videos or audio, and you just throw it in there. And what it does is it transcribes everything like a Word document. So it's like all the words that you're saying in the video or in the podcast comes up like a Word document, and you can edit the Word document like you would, you know, just like I'm typing a paper. So if somebody's talking, or if I'm talking right now and I want to take away the ums or the dead space, all I have to do is highlight delete that, and it's taken and it's edited out of the video and the audio very, very well. Not only that, but it does what's called AI overdub. So say I say, instead of saying overdub, I say over wubba lubba dub dub. I would just have to highlight that and then say overdub for overdub. And it would use an AI voice generator to sound exactly like me. I've used it in my episodes already, which I'm sure you guys wouldn't be able to figure out which part, to say the correct word. It's amazing. I swear by it. I do all of my social media through Descript as well. You can use it to edit for the 9:16 portrait aspect ratio. And I make reels through Descript from my podcast very, very quickly. It's such a powerful editing software. I love it. I swear by it. So check it out. Descript. It's in the link in the description of this episode. And so if you want to download that, make sure to use my affiliate, and that will help me. All right. So that's one. Another one is a program called Riverside. If you are a podcaster and you like doing interviews, This is especially good for you. There's a lot of other podcasting platforms that help with this, but my favorite one is a recording platform called Riverside. Riverside, basically what it does is you, instead of like Zoom, where you have somebody join and you're talking to each other and it's sometimes real jittery and nasty, what Riverside does is it records everything in decent quality while you're doing the stream or doing the recording. And then afterwards, it uploads the entire recording from the local computer into a cloud recording, and you get the localized recording at the end of the interview. So you have high quality video that's like I recorded directly onto my computer from the guest and from myself. Best quality audio, best quality video. You can also do amazing social media from that as well. I love Riverside whenever I have guests. And I have another guest coming up, I think December 29th. I'm going to use it with her. It's going to come out. That's how I have so many high quality video interviews is through Riverside. So check out my link. It's Riverside. I think it's riverside.fm. And my affiliate link will be in the show notes of this episode. So there you go. There's my sponsors right there. Alrighty, let's get back to these comments here. Legalism. I also think a great fix for legalistic people is to get them to serve. Throw them in a position to wash others' feet and watch them get humbled real quick. Yeah. Legalism, it's such a weird thing because it's like, what happens is you become so... I think what happens is like, the Bible says, yes, the devil's walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. Your boy can't talk right now. And so it says, stay vigilant, stay sober-minded. And what I think a lot of people do is they take that and they're trying to be encouraging to other people, maybe. This might be one aspect of it where it's like they're trying to be encouraging to other Christians to be vigilant, but they end up coming across as a judgmental jerk. Cancel your Disney subscription, guy. Come on, Christians, rise up. Oh, man. I can't stand it. Like, do you know that scripture is written for you, like, for you, right? But and it is meant to be read aloud and read as a community. So, but the application of scripture is to be carried out by you. Because scripture says you have to be the one to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Which is why you shouldn't force other people to believe what you believe. Probably shouldn't do that. Is that based? Don't force other people to believe what you believe. And a lot of people, like, I think a lot of Christians understand that the concept of ramming your own beliefs down someone else's throat is basically immoral, or it's wrong, or it's rude. I think a lot of Christians realize that. I also think there's a lot of Christians who don't realize that, or they don't realize it to the extent that they're doing it when they interact with other Christians or they interact with non-Christians. And then they'll make videos like this guy where they'll be like, don't buy a Mickey cup. Disney's 100% corrupt, and like the mug is going to cause wickedness to come in your household. And then the other guy from a couple episodes ago talking about possessed demon plants in your household. Like, do you guys realize how goofy you sound? That's goofy to me. I want to study into it. I want to see how right they are. Maybe like I'll give them the time of day. It just seems so goofy. I highly doubt that there's anything to it. My boy, Inspiring Philosophy, he did a video about demon possession, and he's like, what we should expect of it is that it's rare and very obvious. Rare and very obvious, meaning that it should display itself in a way that's like, oh, that's definitely a demon-possessed person. And I don't think that's something that we should be fearful of as Christians either, because as I've said before, I think scripture is pretty clear about how strong God is. You know what I mean? The boy's strong. The man is so strong. And that's what omnipotent means. It's like his power is so strong that it can't be overtaken. And there's so many verses that talk about that. There's no one like our God. There's no one stronger than our God. He is the King of Kings. I could go on. It wouldn't be that. I would have to just do a 2-second Google search to find a bajillion scriptures talking about the supremacy and sovereignty of God. And I want to be charitable here. Maybe some people, they're hyper legalistic because they feel as though that their sanctification will be affected and their growth with Christ will be affected if they do certain things, which, yes, I agree. And I'm being very vague here and very, and not, like, not very, like practical for a lot of reasons. But what I mean is, maybe that's what they mean. What are we saying here? My mother anointed the house because my brother brought her a luck dragon from Asia. Oh! Oh my goodness, dude. Oh my goodness. That's hysterical, Matt. Oh man, I don't know. I think I should just call the show from that. Like, it blows my mind, guys. At the end of the day, I think we need to understand God is sovereign. He's good. He's powerful. And there's not going to be like a little statue that you bring into your house that's going to just somehow curse everything and cause like demon possession. Christians don't get demon possessed. We get maybe oppressed. I'll concede to that, where maybe there's like demonic activity around what we do, maybe influencing, so that like it causes some trouble or whatever. But I don't think there's anything that's going to like penetrate the atonement and what, you know, God has done in your life, or anything that's going to override this the God's spirit within you. Like the Holy Spirit, he's strong. And I don't also say that, I'm not also saying that to be like, well, just go, you know, do whatever you want, say whatever you want, and it's going to be okay. I know there's a delicate balance here for sure. Because scripture does say we have to say, you know, be wise and do be vigilant. So don't discount the fact that you do have to be vigilant. But what I'm saying is, some people's vigilance looks like is, you know, exegeting like a soda can, Monster soda. Who cares? Who cares about the Monster soda? Karen? Of course it's referencing a demon. Of course it is. It's not Christian. Of course. But like, it's an energy drink. And like, an energy drink is not going to somehow like possess you with a horde of demons. I don't get that. I know my boy, Paul, my friends Paul and Morgan were talking about yoga, and a lot of Christians feel as though doing yoga exercises are you know, giving legal access to your body or your spirit, and it's demonic activity. Guys, maybe, okay? I'll give you a maybe. As far as like the practice in whole, inherently, maybe, but you know what's also inherent? Stretching. You know, it's also something that you just do, move your body. A lot of the movements in yoga are just like touching your toes and using your hip flexors, opening up your hip flexors, and, you know, utilizing muscle groups within your body so that they're more flexible. But they look like gods. Well, it just so happens that the muscle groups that you're posing with look like a Hindu god. What's gonna happen, dude? What's gonna happen if you touch your toes? Did you know, like, literally one of the stretches in yoga is touching your toes? So you mean to tell me that if you tie your shoes, that you're gonna get infested with 3 billion demons and you're gonna be foaming at the mouth in the fields eating grass like Nebuchadnezzar? Are you kidding me, dude? That is like, this is the dumbest, I think. I'm sorry if this is your take. I'm sorry, but this is such a low take. This is such a very, very bad take, because when it comes to literally moving your body, like something that's part of your actual biology, like your body, I need to be stretching more. My hips are going bad from doing martial arts all these years. But like, maybe I'll do like a downward dog or a vinyasa to open up my hips. There's other movements I can do, like a stretch where it's like the pigeon stretch or something like that, where I bring my leg. I think that's also a yoga stretch. But it does wonders for my hips. And my boy Paul Ligas was saying he's doing stretches because he has a bad back. Oh my goodness. And there's a lot of complexity to this, so I don't want to paint this with broad brushes. Like, I do want to be nuanced. I want to be the dumb meme lord guy, but I want to be somewhat nuanced, because as I mentioned earlier, there are some people who can't do it because they have a background in dealing with yoga or maybe like Eastern religion. And so when they see yoga or they are near yoga, it triggers something within them and they can't do it. I get that. I respect that. If you can't do yoga, if you can't do certain stretches, like I feel bad for your hips. I feel bad for your muscle groups. If you can't stretch, can't touch your toes. But like, I get it. I respect it. I hope you find another way of stretching that does not somehow look like the actual stretches that are good for your body. I hope you figure that out. And I'm sure there are. I'm not a physical therapist. But like, man, I promise you, you're doing yoga movements in one way, shape, or form every day without even knowing it. There's so many yoga movements that are just natural human movements. Especially if you have a kid, like if you're just rolling around on the ground or you're moving in a certain way or you're stretching before gym class, like 90% of those are yoga poses, guys. I hate to break it to you. So I think that you can disconnect. I can safely say you can disconnect the stretches from maybe like the spirituality aspect of yoga. I think it's very safe to say that. And some people will even go as far, like I'm sure that people from like the cultish podcast are going to come after me and like do a whole series about why I'm wrong or whatever. But like, I, as somebody who's trained martial arts since I was 14 and who like needs to stretch so that I can walk, you know, I have really bad sciatic nerve, damage, and I have, like my hips are starting to like deteriorate and I need to stretch every day. I don't do a good job of it, but I need to. Those are the best stretches for, like the yoga stretches are just bar none the best stretches for me to do. Like I'm sure there's other stretches I could do with bands, but I promise you one of the poses that I'm going to be doing is going to be a yoga stretch because it's compatible with body movement. So I didn't expect this to be a hill that I was going to die on tonight, but there you go. Your boy got triggered. Okay, let me look at some of these comments because I've been rambling. John says, I hate anti-yoga people. LOL. I got into it with my homie because I played Magic the Gathering and I was like, fam, this paper with pictures with wizards on them. Not Magic the Gathering, faints. Wait, Matt, you do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Who knows what you're inviting in? Oh, man. Invite yoga as far as the spiritual aspect of it, I completely denounce. You know, Eastern religion, don't agree with it. I think it's not good. But I think there's positive elements to stretching and moving your body in ways that are similar to yoga poses because they're legit good for your body. Yeah. And I mean, and this, you know, the Bible talks about meditation. It talks about mindfulness. And I'm not talking about doing meditation in a way that's like, you know, oh, spirits, I open my, like, there is benefit to mental exercises where you do clear your mind and you are patient. And, you know, if anything, you can use that time to be inviting to the Lord. You can say, God, you know, speak to me during this time. And you can meditate on scripture and empty your mind in that way where you focus on one thing. I know there's a lot of weirdness and ambiguity between like mindfulness, clear-headedness, and things like that. I don't know the research on it. I'm not going to claim to say, oh, this is better, this is this. However, I do know my boy, oh my goodness, Elias Dummer, from the former lead singer of the City Harmonic Band, a guy I interviewed recently. During our interview, he said, theistic meditation is provably more effective than non-theistic meditation, meaning people who meditate on God or a God is more mentally and physiologically beneficial than just meditating without focusing on those things. So I feel like that's a good apologetic for God. I really do. I think that's a really good evidence to say, you know, God is good for you. I'm sure I'm getting roasted in the comments right now. Just to reiterate the sponsors, the script platform, I highly recommend it. That's going to be in the show notes of this episode. Riverside.fm, really great interviewing software. And also, if you got value from this program, you love me, you want to see me do this more, then you can be a supporter for as little as $2. Or if you want to get access to a lot of the other goodies that I offer for $5 a month and above, you can support me through a platform called Supercast. And you can visit that by going to memelordmonday.supercast.com. Oh, man. Okay, guys. All right. I'm going to end this here. I'm just going to do my final plug, and then I got to get out of here. All right, guys. If you found value from this crazy stream that I'm doing, please support me. Please consider becoming a supporter of this show. It will encourage me to make more. I would love to do this full time and be able to give you better content, more frequent content, bring on some crazy guests. But I need funding. I need support. So do that by supporting me at memelordmonday.supercast.com, and you can support me for a various level throughout, you know, different tiers, and that would mean so much to me. And then you'll get access to backlogged episodes, unedited episodes, exclusive episodes, as well as content creation coaching and behind the scenes stuff that I'm working on with bigger platforms like Memes for Jesus that I'm also in ownership of. And yeah, so there you go. That's it, guys. Thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate you guys. Make sure to like this video and subscribe if you haven't already here on Meme Lord Monday podcast on YouTube. That's it. Love you guys. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.